You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Actually, not Maggie Dawn. She's on vacation this week, a well-earned July 4th early vacation. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang today, and appreciating your texts and calls at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And how great it was to have Sally Flores of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition with us, Angela. She's such a model, such a courageous person, and doing great work. Now we're joined by another tremendous activist in Wisconsin, Tanya Atkinson, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk with both of you.
Oh, we're looking forward to it myself. There is this recent Supreme Court decision dealing with Planned Parenthood. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So essentially what this court case did was tell patients that they do not have the right to sue to see their provider of choice. Right now it's limited to South Carolina. But essentially, you know, historically, people who have Medicaid as their form of insurance also had, you know, a right to choose their own provider. And what the court did is not only block patients from being able to sue to say that they want Planned Parenthood as their provider, it's just another step to, you know, disempowering people to have a say over their own healthcare and their own bodies. And what is this? Open up the door for other states to defund Planned Parenthood, which essentially means not allowing Medicaid to be able to be billed for services at Planned Parenthood. It opens up the door for states across the country to do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was where I was going to go with it, is like, what would this look like for Wisconsinites?
Yeah. So immediately for Wisconsinites, we're fortunate that we have a governor and an attorney general who support people's ability to access healthcare. What it does moving forward is make our elections even more consequential when it comes to sexual and reproductive health care and people's ability to access care, specifically at Planned Parenthood.
What percentage of your clients in Wisconsin are on Medicaid?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So we have about 50,000 patients, every individual patients every year, and about 60% of those patients have BadgerCare Medicaid as their form of insurance.
Well, that's enormous.
Yeah.
And so if Wisconsin were to follow the path of South Carolina, South Carolina said they didn't want Medicaid money going to Planned Parenthood. I mean, that would be disastrous, not only for Planned Parenthood, but for the people who needed that service.
Well, right. Exactly. I mean, that's at the heart of the matter, is not what happens to an organization, but what happens to people. And that's exactly what that means. And both, you know, in the event the state would decide that Medicaid couldn't be used, you know, people couldn't have their Medicaid used at Planned Parenthood, or whether it's the defund measure that we're seeing, you know, actively happening and moving through Congress right now, it you know, the majority of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin's patients have Medicaid or BadgerCare as their form of insurance. And so that has a potential impact on all the patients across the entire state.
Can you also talk about some potential like misconceptions? I think there's a lot of folks, maybe not some of this audience, but just so folks know that it's a lot more than just abortion care and abortion services. Can you talk about some of the other crucial services that Planned Parenthood does indeed provide? I think I myself has used Planned Parenthood for various services in college, and I know many other folks have as well. So can you just talk about, you know, it's not just abortion access, but really what this actually is taking away in the types of services?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, Angela. Yes. So first of all, there's a misconception that Planned Parenthoods get a check from Medicaid and they say, go do good. That is not the case. Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is a healthcare provider. So like all healthcare providers, we bill all the insurance companies. Medicaid is one of the insurance companies that most of our patients have as their form of insurance. So this is getting reimbursed for care that's provided. And the care that's provided under, you know, what's happening in Congress and also the ruling, none of it has to do with abortion, because mm-hmm. due to the Hyde Amendment, which we disagree with vehemently, but due to the Hyde Amendment, Medicaid can't be used to cover abortion services except in exceptionally limited circumstances. So the what we're talking about, you know, in Congress and at SCOTUS is reimbursement for care, including STI testing and treatment, pregnancy tests, a lot of cancer prevention and cancer intervention work, right? So it's the, you know, well person exams. It's, you know, it's these really essential basic healthcare services that are covered under the Medicaid program as we know it, or Badger Care as some folks know it in Wisconsin. And, you know, and what that means, if we think about cancer prevention and intervention, you know, this really is about the patients. It's not about politics. And this is what our friends, our families, our neighbors, 1 in 4 women have used Planned Parenthood. So that's just if we're just talking about women alone and not other folks across the gender spectrum. And, you know, I think about the story that happened not too long ago where a patient came into Planned Parenthood, and what she had said to our team was that something wasn't right. She knew something wasn't right. She knew her own body. Something wasn't right. And she went to provider after provider after provider and finally said, you know, I'm going to go to Planned Parenthood. And what they did was listen. And what they found was fairly advanced cancer. And so we're able to get this person referred for treatment. So think about what would happen if that person, you know, had Badger Care, Medicaid, and what does that mean for the individual and also for their family and for their community? I mean, these are real people that need this care.
Why do you think, I'm glad that you talked about some of these other details and the other services, and I recognize this may be a big question, but why do you think that those details about the full scope and range and support that Planned Parenthood provides, why do you think that is lost? Do you think that that's intentional?
Oh, I think it's intentional. I think, you know, especially since, I mean, prior to Dobbs, it was, you know, there was a lot of, you know, intentional confusion as part of the strategy. And after Dobbs, that has been magnified. So even though, you know, 1 in 4 people have been to a Planned Parenthood for their care, and the bulk of that care is the prevention services that you're talking about, Angela, even though that is the case, people are busy. And you know, if we think about, well, crisis pregnancy centers choose to locate across the street from Planned Parenthoods. They choose to use the same colors. So all of that stuff is by design to confuse individuals. And so when you have a national narrative that is, you know, in 1 week, you know, within a matter of days, we're talking about SCOTUS and talking about whether or not Planned Parenthood is going to be defunded in this budget bill, it is very confusing for people.
You mentioned those pregnancy centers, so-called. Explain what those are.
Yeah, I mean, crisis pregnancy centers are, you know, I'll just give the upshot. Crisis pregnancy centers are places that present themselves as reproductive health care providers. And really their goal is to dissuade women from having an abortion if that's what they need.
We're speaking with Tanya Atkinson. She's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood, Advocates of Wisconsin by Matt Rothschild, co-anchoring today with Angela Lang here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You've mentioned a couple times, Tanya, the bill, the big bad bill in Congress right now. Mm-hmm. What, you know, in all the discussions in the media, I barely hear anything about defunding Planned Parenthood as part of the bill. So explain that in a little more detail for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, thank you for asking. So, you know, they are absolutely gutting Medicaid in this bill. And the Planned Parenthood provision is, it's Medicaid, but it's separate and standalone from the rest of the Medicaid cuts. And so very almost identical to the Supreme Court case, it's nationally and mandates it that Planned Parenthoods cannot bill Medicaid to be reimbursed for the preventive services that are provided. So again, it's not about the organization. It's about individuals who have Medicaid for their insurance can't use their Medicaid at any Planned Parenthood across the country.
And if that goes through, what's that going to do for your work and the work of other Planned Parenthood organizations?
Millions of patients and hundreds of health centers that will likely need to be closed. And, you know, here in Wisconsin, again, 50,000 patients, 60% have Medicaid as their form of insurance. That is a really, really difficult path forward. And, you know, so while we don't know exactly what the language is yet that's going to come out of it, so it's hard to give specifics, but I think everybody can connect the dot that, you know, any healthcare organization that is told that you will not receive reimbursement for 60% of the care that you provide, that is tough for any organization, and especially in healthcare, it's tough for any organization, and in healthcare when costs keep going up and reimbursements don't go up. And what that means also, and the reality is, you know, the people that are going to be impacted by this are people who are already disenfranchised in our healthcare system. So it is rural Wisconsinites. If we think about all the centers that just closed around the Eau Claire area, like 19 clinics and two or three hospitals, you know, so, and then women of color, you know, people who are struggling financially. So it's already people who are already struggling to get healthcare. And Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is an entry point into the healthcare system. We work with other healthcare providers. So we often refer to other healthcare providers for other issues that people might be seen for, and other healthcare providers refer back to us. So who's going to come in and fill that gap? And the answer is all the healthcare systems are taxed. It's going to be almost impossible for other systems to fill that void.
And it's so irrational at a higher level for the healthcare system to have people not getting the care they need up front, and then they're going to end up when things are gone worse for them at an ER, and you know, they'll be in horrible shape, and it's going to cost the healthcare system more to take care of them for a problem that could have been solved earlier on much cheaper. So it's just, it's not only inhumane for the listeners who are worried about money, it's irrational. It's going to cost us much more as taxpayers.
Yes. Out of the gate, it costs $300 million more. And that's just because people, if they can find care, will need to go to places like the emergency room, like you said, that has just simply a higher cost for them to provide the care in the first place.
Yeah, it's just part of the whole crazy, irrational healthcare system we have. But to penalize Planned Parenthood as one provider out of all the providers in a bill, I would think you'd be able to sue. Lord knows the courts aren't a great place to be, but it seems like discrimination to me, and I don't know if you'd have any luck that way. We'll get your reaction to that on the backside. We've got a short break. I'm curious as to what your options are if this bill goes through, what your options are after this bad Supreme Court case. We're speaking with Tanya Atkinson. She's the president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with my co-host Angela Lang, and we'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, we're back on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's out this week. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting today with Angela Lang. And we have Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, here as our guest until 5:30. And right before the break, Tanya, I asked about what your options are after this bill and after the Supreme Court case.
Yeah, thank you. First, you know, for anybody who's listening, you know, I mean, it's changing second by second. And we have to first, like, push really hard still on Senator Johnson. I mean, you know, and to thank Senator Baldwin for her fight, you know, around this particular healthcare issue. And then we need to start pushing the House, you know, our House representatives, because it has to go back to the House. And, you know, the reality is, you know, and I really agree with what Ms. Flores said, is that they're doing what they said they were going to do. And we saw this last time with the Affordable Care Act, the attacks on the Affordable Care Act. One distinction is that they duped the working people when it came to Medicaid. And they promised up and down that they were not gonna touch Medicaid, they were not gonna gut Medicaid. And they are. And so and they're doing that to, you know, ensure that they're giving money, you know, to the billionaires. That is the reason. They're willing to put people's lives on the line. It's a story as old as our country is long. They're willing to put people's bodies on the line to amass more power and more wealth. And so we have got to fight till the bitter end and hold faith in, you know, the people that may have supported him and, you know, are working hard. They have jobs, 2, 3, 4 jobs sometimes, and there's no health insurance in any of those jobs. They rely on Badger. That's important for them, for their families, right? And there's people that have like really significant healthcare challenges that were not for Badger Care, they would be in a lot of pain. And frankly, this is putting lives at risk. So before we just, you know, have a assume that we're going to lose on this, we really have to keep pushing. And, you know, Senator Johnson has said he opposed the bill, maybe not for the same reasons that we opposed the bill. Nonetheless, he needs to hear from us, and our congressional representatives need to hear from us. And then after that, if it does remain, you know, if the bill passes and it remains, then Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is going to do everything in our power in, you know, in this upcoming year, because it lasts for a year, in this upcoming year to serve as many people as we can in as many ways as we can. And we will be, you know, historically, Planned Parenthood is 90 years old this year. And, you know, no organization gets to be 90 without some serious obstacles. And this organization, throughout its 90 years, has had people trying to shut us down, has had people trying to make patients invisible, the people that we serve invisible, the communities invisible. And so, you know, there's a lot of strong support out there. So we're gonna work with others and figure out how we can do that. The reality is, though, I mean, it is going to be really difficult to serve as many people as we serve right now with those constraints. And the other thing to lift up in all of this is, you know, in your question, Angela, about why people get confused, the reality is this, you know, a national abortion ban is next. I mean, this is their path to a national abortion ban. If you can ban, you know, family planning across the country, essentially, by the largest family planning provider, that is, you know, that's momentum for a full-on national abortion ban.
I just want to give out Ron Johnson's phone number, 202-224-3121. That's the Senate switchboard, 202-224-3121, and tell him to keep his word and vote against this bill. Angela's got a question for you, Tanya.
Yeah, just knowing that we got a couple minutes left, and first of all, thank you for providing such like a really simple breakdown of all this chaos that's happening. For folks that may be listening, that this is their issue or they feel very strongly about it, what would you want folks to know about how we, as you know, regular residents of Wisconsin, citizens and whatnot, are able to continue to fight back, right? We know that some of it may be in the courts. Some of us are not, you know, legal scholars and things like that, but want to do something. What are some ways that folks can support or plug into the work of Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, thank you for asking. People could go to ppawi.org, and there's a lot of volunteer opportunities. We try to make volunteerism as accessible as possible. So there's some in communities, there's some from people's homes. So folks can do that. And that, you know, the most effective way to create change is to have conversations in our communities. And Angela, I know that you know that better than anybody. So that is what we are aiming to do. So if folks want to plug in, ppawi.org, click on get involved. There's even digital toolkits. So if you just want to echo the messages, that is critical too.
I think it's so important to, echo the messages. I think have conversations. That's one of the main tenets of organizing is how are we having conversations with folks on the ground, you know, sometimes at dinner tables or kitchen tables, being able to actually take something informal and just have a conversation. I know this weekend I was talking about it with some of my friends because it's on everyone's minds too. And then I know that there is like a virtual event tonight as well too, if you wanted to kind of talk about some of the conversations that you're having and how folks could either listen in or kind of tune into some of those in the future too.
Yeah. Excuse me. I just all of a sudden had a little cough. So yes, there's an excellent call happening this afternoon. And I think, you know, some of our partners, some of our close partners are going to be a part of that. I think yourself included. Is that correct?
I am not able to join, but there's other folks. So we had to make sure we were promoting.
The ask was out there anyway. So, I mean, and that's important is the cross movement collaboration. Because our patients don't have single issue lives. And so we have to work together consistently. We have to stay loud. And as hard as this is, we have to keep our energy up. It's going to be a fight, and we got to do it together.
Absolutely. Thank Thanks so much for being our guest, Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. We'll be right back in the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie today, along with Angela Lang. I want to thank Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin for being such a tremendous guest. She mentioned how crucial it is for people to call Ron Johnson's office, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, and urge Ron Johnson to keep his promise to vote against the bill. You don't have to tell him why. If you need to tell him why, maybe just mention the $3.3 trillion deficit that this is going to cause, because that's the issue that he was talking about all the time, that he didn't want us to take on so much debt. So just echo that and try to put some pressure on him. 202-224-3121. In the show notes, we'll have the numbers not only of Ron Johnson, but of all the representatives in Congress for you to access and to use. You got to give people a holler. And they count those. The staffers count the calls. And if they get more than 10 calls or 20 calls, they think it's a disaster. So it's really important to register your view on that. I just want to admire also Tanya Atkinson's courage at this time. There are a lot of crazy people out there with firearms. And I know the murderer in Minnesota had Planned Parenthood offices and officials on his list. So it's just like Sally Flores is risking a lot, Tanya Atkinson risking a lot by being out there. She mentioned the bill in Congress, which I call the big ugly bill or the big hideous bill. And I know Maggie's got other names for it. But I was trying to research it today and I came across Bernie Sanders, God bless him, giving a tremendous speech this morning on the floor of the Senate on this. So let's hear the first bite of Bernie, Jacob, if you would.
And when billionaires spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars trying to elect a president or a senator or a member of Congress, they're not making that investment just for the fun of it. They want something in return. And this legislation, big time, is what they are getting in return. So what is in this bill that they invested in? Well, if you are in the top 1%, you and the class you represent will receive a $975 billion tax break. $975 billion tax break at a time when the richest people in this country have never, ever had it so good. Further, this is really quite unbelievable. If you are among the wealthiest 0.2%, not talking about 1%, talking about the top 0.2%, you will be able to pay zero taxes on your $30 million inheritance. So all of you folks out there who are waiting to inherit at least $30 million, today is a good day for you. Collectively, you will receive approximately $211 billion in tax breaks for the top 0.2%. Congratulations, you hit the jackpot. If you are a large corporation and you want to throw workers out on the street and replace them with artificial intelligence, or maybe you want to shift your profits to the Cayman Islands or other tax havens, you are going to get a $918 billion tax break. Congratulations to the CEOs of large profitable corporations.
God, I love that. I mean, the thing about Bernie, he just makes it so real. I mean, because on the estate tax, for instance, in poll after poll, most Americans, you know, they don't like the estate tax because they think they want to pass whatever they've earned onto their kids, but they don't realize that they already can do that as long as they they don't have more than $30 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have $29 million, you can pass all $29 million to your lucky offspring. And who listening to this show has, you know, an estate worth $29 million? It's not just the 1%; it's a fraction. It's 1/5 of 1% of the American public that's going to benefit from that estate tax thing. The other thing that struck me about what Bernie did there was he brought in the campaign finance issue. He said, look, the super rich pay for these campaigns, and this is what they expect in return. So that made me laugh when he said, this is a good day for you. This is a good payday for you. How did it hit you, Angela?
I mean, how much more clear can you be, right? And that's my takeaway, is that like Bernie's way of being able to really just be honest and paint the picture. We could talk about stats and statistics and all these things, but being able to paint the picture is something that he's always been really good at. And I think that's why folks resonate with him. And so on one hand, we're talking about these tax breaks, we're talking about the corporations, but also on the other hand, we've been talking with Tanya and all these different things in ways that folks are suffering, getting kicked off of health insurance, not being able to access care, inflation. People are worried about rising costs and rent, all these various things. And so that is also part of the context and the backdrop of these tax breaks. And it feels that like anytime, you know, average folks, working class folks, low income folks are going through it the most is also when these corporations and these wealthy billionaires get to also profit the most. We saw some of the richest folks get even more. People were losing their jobs and struggling. And it feels very reminiscent of that time. The more hard times are for the average person, the more billionaires are able to fill their pockets. And that's disgusting.
Yeah, and I think the way Bernie speaks, he makes it so obvious to people. It's one of the reasons why this bill is so unpopular. I saw a poll on CNN that showed they're underwater by about 20 points here, and yet they're ramming it through. The number to call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to weigh in on the big, hideous bill or on what Bernie Sanders just had to say about it. Or what he's just about to say, because we have another nice soundbite. Jacob, please play that one for us.
But while the rich and large corporations make out like bandits in this bill, what does it do for low-income and working families? Well, let me say a few words on that. If you are concerned about health care, which I suspect that everybody in the world is, this bill throws over 16 million people off the health insurance they have, according to the Congressional Budget Office, by cutting Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act by over $1.1 trillion. In other words, the top 1% getting a $975 billion tax break, and that is coming directly by throwing 16 million people off of the health insurance they have. This bill, for the first time, forces millions of Medicaid recipients who make as little as $16,000 a year to pay a $35 copayment every time they visit a doctor's office. So what is the impact of all of that? You throw 16 million people off healthcare, you charge forced people who don't have any money, pay a $35 copayment. So what's the impact of it? Well, this is not my view. This is what the Yale School of Public Health and the University of Pennsylvania determined based on a study that they did. And this is the result. And it is almost so horrific, so grotesque, that it is difficult to speak about. But they estimate that if this bill goes through with all of these cuts in health care, if 16 million people are thrown off of the insurance they have, over 50,000 Americans will die unnecessarily every year.
Wow.
50,000 Americans.
Now, that was a statistic I hadn't seen before. 50,000 Americans will die every year earlier than they would have otherwise. you know, this is, you know, they used to talk about death panels under Obama. This is a real death sentence for 50,000 poor Americans, according to Bernie Sanders. Wow. You know, and they, most of the folks in Congress can't relate to people on $16,000 an hour. That's right. Another part of the huge problem. We got Joe from Madison on the line, Angela. So why don't we take that, Jacob, if that's okay.
Hi, this is Joe. Are you there, folks?
Yeah, we are, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, great, great, great. Great show. Really valuable information, particularly from the last guest and especially from Sally Flores, who, man, talk about the heroes of America. She's right out there fighting for safe and fair maps. I just can't believe her fortitude. When we look at Bernie, we look at a guy who is of an age who could be sitting poolside and going, well, this is interesting, and not worried about it a bit. Yet he's still in there fighting. When I think about patriotism, which is where you started the show, was talking about patriotism and upcoming celebrations for 4th of July, I think about those people who keep pushing and keep pushing. I think of James Cameron out of Milwaukee, who put forth the America's Black Holocaust Museum to tell us all about this history, this awful history of lynching within our country. I think about people like Vince Lombardi, who push to try to have a diverse group of people on his football team, which put him at odds with the majority of what the owners were doing in other places. I think about the movie Selma, and I would urge people, 4th of July, stream that movie and just get a look at what people went through, ordinary people went through to secure their rights, an ongoing battle that still hasn't concluded. And I'm having Bernie finish off this hour just puts the frosting on the cake, because that's what it is. It's people like Bernie who keep pushing, providing the information, and keep pushing us forward for a more fair and egalitarian country. And it's such an important topic. I hope you return to it again and again during this week as we gear up toward 4th of July. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thanks, Joe, as always. Yeah, Joe always brings such thoughtful comments. And yeah, Bernie could have, hung it up and enjoyed being with his grandkids. And I just love everything she said about James Cameron, Lombardi. I've heard Joe talk about Lombardi before she mentioned it. I didn't realize that he was, right out there for civil rights. And there's so many people, you know, that we didn't hear about, even if they're famous, that they stood up and did the right thing. Selma is a good movie. There are a lot of good movies to watch. About the civil rights era, certainly, and about, upholding our freedoms that we need to do here on the July 4th weekend, as we need to do all the time. But I did love the Bernie, though. And I found other quotes from him today as I was circling around. I mean, he was on Tom Tillis, the Republican from North Carolina, who's quitting because he dared to say he wasn't voting for the bill. I heard Bernie say that the Republican Party has become a Stalinist cult, that you can't criticize the leader without having a severe punishment, without being purged, essentially. So there's Bernie. Thank God for Bernie. And thank God for the Civic Media Radio Network, which you're listening to right now. I'm guest hosting for Maggie Dong, along with Angela Lang. And Maggie will be back next week, and I welcome your calls, 855-752-4842 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back with a poem from Mary Oliver.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm co-hosting with Angela Lang. And I wanted to thank Joe again for that call. She is always welcome on the air here at Civic Media. You know, she was stressing this argument, or really discussion, the conversation you and I have been having, Angela, on patriotism, how people feel about the country right now. So here's a little fun fact, or maybe a not so fun fact, that executive producer Jamie has provided me. According to Gallup, just 58% of Americans say they're very or extremely proud to be American. That's down from 85% in 2013, and actually the lowest ever recorded by Gallup. A lot of folks unhappy with the way the country is going right now, and I certainly am among them.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me, like seeing that number. But it's also very stark contrast, and I don't know if that number will actually mean anything for how folks in power and our decision makers are thinking, hey, okay, maybe folks should course correct. People don't even identify with being an American. And unfortunately, I don't think that the powers that be right now will, do they care even if people don't feel proud to be an American? No, because at the end of the day, they're going to just push their own agenda, which they think is American.
And right now that agenda is a money grab for the top 1% or the top 0.2%, which is absolutely crazy. You know, every time I get to co-host Angela, I like to bring a little poetry in the last segment just to kind of ease out of the heavy conversation. And so there's this famous poem by Mary Oliver, who is a favorite of a lot of folks, called This Summer Day. And I found it in her own voice. So, Jacob, if we could just play this as a kind of a transition.
Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Well, there's a intrusive question.
Big question.
Yes, it is. You know, paying attention relates to everything I think we've been talking about today, just how important it is to pay attention. But so I appreciate that she put that in there. I appreciate that she talked about watching clouds by lying down in the grass. I remember doing that as a kid. I think a lot of us, all of us have done that. But yeah, that imperative at the end for us to figure out, you know, what we're going to do with the time that remains, even though we all die, is a real kind of grab you by the shirt collar and make you stand up and pay attention. How did that strike you, Angela?
I love like the poems and any piece of art that really just kind of takes you out of this chaotic bubble and kind of zooms out into what matters and what life is all about, and literally stopping to smell the roses and to really think about how we want to live our lives. And as someone that works a lot, also trying to find those pockets of joy in these moments too, is that it's important for us to resist, but you know, being able to find those pockets of joy is also a part of resistance, right? Being able to take a moment to stop and smell the flowers and to see about life's beauty, I think, is a radical act these days.
Yeah, pockets of joy. One of my pockets of joy is bird watching, as you know, and so I always try to bring a bird call to the show, just to introduce people to birding if they're not part of the cult of birding yet, or the joy of birding, really. That's going to be the name of my next book, The Joy of Birding. But anyway, I want to go to Horicon Marsh over the July 4th weekend. One reason I want to go there is to see a yellow-headed blackbird. A lot of people don't even know that there are blackbirds that come with a yellow head. Mm. And this yellow-headed blackbird has an ugly sound that I'm going to make you listen to. I saw on some birding site that it sounds like a rusty gate opening. Jacob, do you mind playing that for us? Sounds
that
like
certainly
a baby crying.
Different.
Yeah, it's not exactly a Baltimore Oriole or even a robin singing, but it's quite a cool bird, though, because its whole head is yellow, unlike our red-winged blackbirds that we usually see. And then on its wings, when it flies, there's a flash of white, too. So it's a bird mostly of the west, of western marshes, but Horicon's got some. So that's worth the drive. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I hope, Angela, that you'll have a nice July 4th as well.
Yeah, before we head out, because I made State Representative Darren Madison send me a bird fact. He said birds don't sweat and do not have sweat glands. So to stay cool, they evaporate water through their respiratory tracts. To which he said, quote, their haters could never make them perspire. Oh, and I think that's a cue that we all need.
Absolutely. Thanks for hosting with me. I want to thank our guests, Tanya and Sally. I want to thank the callers and texters. I want to thank Jamie and Jacob. And Pete Schwabe is next. He's always entertaining. Stay tuned to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.